We've looked at what loving people and improving our people skills look like in shoe leather. An elder loves people. We're available. We're visible. We have a deep sense of responsibility for people. We're compassionate. And of course, we want to seek to have an atmosphere of love in our local churches. We've also talked about the very important necessity, especially in our work, where we deal with difficult situations, perhaps difficult people, the need to be gentle and patient. We talked about tact and diplomacy. So in your outline, we want to continue with point number three, so vitally important in a local church, and that is be an encourager. Now, this may sound like a very small matter, but truly it is vital to your leadership church community. People need encouragement. Someone has said, there's a broken heart in every pew. I know in our church it's true. We all have struggles we're going through. It could be finances, marriage, problems with the kids. Many people in our local churches are discouraged, they feel unappreciated, and everyone, I think you would agree, that you encounter is struggling with something or other in our fallen world. So everyone needs an encouraging or an uplifting word. And it takes so little effort. This is so simple to put into practice in our own ministries and in our own local churches. Leaders can create an encouraging environment in our local churches. Now here's something. Words carry energy. They carry energy for good or for bad. So what we want to do in our time together today is look at some very practical things. We're going to look at some verses on how we can begin, if you're not doing it already, begin a ministry of encouragement. Little things like when you greet people. This is something I struggle with. I don't know why, but in our fallen world it's like that. When I greet people, I tend to look away. When you greet somebody, look them in the eye. Give them your undivided attention. My wife will always tell me, she's a lovely lady, she'll say, look at me when you're talking to me. And I love her. She's beautiful and all this. There's something about me I have to consciously remember. Look at people in the eye when you greet them. Give them your undivided attention. Now let's look at what the scripture says about encouraging people. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 13, and I like the NIV. It says, but encourage one another every day. Isn't that interesting? Every day, not once in a while, but every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Again, Paul the diplomat, Paul the encourager. He says in verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Isn't that interesting that we need an exhortation to do it and to do it every day? You know why? In our fallen condition, by nature, we're selfish. We're self-centered. We have to work at thinking about others, putting others above us, and encouraging one another daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Listen to the importance that Paul puts on this. He says, we urge you, brothers. He urges us. Admonish the idle, now listen, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Now in our fallen state, what do we usually do with a weak person? What's wrong with him? No, Paul comes along and says, you don't treat people like that. You encourage them. And then 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. You are witnesses, and God also. How holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, now listen, like a father with his children, we exhorted or we encouraged each one of you and encouraged you. I like what George Adams says. He says, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. As leaders, we want to be breathing oxygen into people's weary souls. A church leader must be an encourager. By nature, we are discouragers. We look for what we can criticize. And Paul comes along and he says, look, as elders, be encouragers. And by the way, this is key. Don't assume that people can read your mind. When you see people in your assembly, as you go through your daily life, Tell them that you appreciate them. Well, you should know it. Don't be like the man who on the day he was married told his wife, now listen, I'm going to tell you this one time, so you don't have to worry about it for the rest of your life. I love you, so don't expect me to tell you every day. No, people love to hear that every day. My wife tells me this. Tell people you appreciate them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you see the good that they're doing for the kingdom of God, for your local church, and for serving you. Tell people that you appreciate what they're doing, their ministries in the local church. Tell them you see how hard they're working. Ask them if they need any help. Listen, one word from a leader's mouth can encourage those who serve in our local churches. Now, let's be very practical here. I'm going to give you some homework. When you go home to your local church or when you go to church, here's a list of people. Get them on your radar. These are people that serve, and they serve weekly, they serve monthly, and sometimes we never even talk to them. We never tell them. So here's a list. Your Sunday school director. That's a busy job. Your Sunday school teachers. I know a man who served in Sunday school for 2 years. And in the 2 years he was serving in the Sunday school, not one person, not one parent ever came down and said, hey, thank you for the time you spend teaching my child. Thank you for the good preparation. I see a change in his life. The only time they spoke to him is when they had a complaint. Be an encourager. Look around. There's a broken heart in every pew, as we just said. Get these people on your radar. Begin a ministry of encouragement. This is something anybody can do. How about the people that are working with the youth? That is a very challenging ministry. Encourage them. People working with our seniors. The worship team in our assembly, we have two worship teams, and they come in and they practice hours and hours. When the people come to church, they don't know that they've been practicing for hours and hours to help them in worship. Go to them and tell them, you know what, your song selection was good. The blend of hymns and choros and things like that, all very good. How about the folks that work in the nursery? They need encouragement. How about the deacons? Anybody that is serving in your local church, you can go to them and bring encouragement and breathe oxygen into their souls. Let people know you see what they're doing. You know how it is in your life, okay? Sometimes we give people jobs, and this is very sad, and we say to them, in effect, okay, here's your ministry, bye-bye, and you know what? We never go back to them unless what? Unless there's a problem. Don't be like that. If you give somebody a ministry, follow them, write them cards, phone calls, tell them they're doing a good job. And so sometimes if there's no problem, we don't even talk to them. It seems like we only talk to people like if there's a problem or if we have something to nitpick about. I kind of refer to it as like firemen. We sit in the station unless there's what? Unless there's a fire. Now don't be like a fireman. Go out, breathe encouragement into the folks in your local churches. So let's be generous with our words. Let me give you some suggestions, some very practical suggestions. Look around in your local church, in your ministry, send people cards. And don't send an email. People, that handwritten note is very special. Can you imagine getting a card and saying, you know, brother, we've been watching you, and my wife and I just appreciate you so much. Thank you for the ministry. Here's a $15 gift card for Starbucks. That's breathing oxygen into people's lives. Make a phone call or two every day. Just go down your church directory. How would you like to get a phone call from the elders? You know, I really don't want anything. You were just on my mind. I just want to tell you, brother, I appreciate you. I've been praying for you, and God bless you. How would that come across to you? That would encourage you. You say, whoa, the elders, they really shepherd here. They're encouraging people. Here's one, a big one, the sick. When people are sick, call them, visit them. If they're in the hospital, make sure they get flowers from the local church. Here's a big one. I don't think we realize how many parents cry themselves asleep at night over the issue of their prodigal children. If you know some parent or parents, maybe a single mother, who's struggling with her children, just a hug in the foyer, a kind word, squeeze their arm and say, look, I've been praying for you. Many ways we can encourage the people who are struggling, the people that are out of work. Look around, who's out of work? Send them a meal. Send them an encouraging card. People who care for or have responsibility in the local church or just somebody that you prayed for today. Like I said, pick up the phone, call somebody. If you're an elder, you're going to be on the phone a lot. Phone calls are very, very important. It's part of the job. Now, little things like, let me just give you some more practical illustrations here. You know somebody in your church that's going to go in tomorrow for an operation. Call them the night before. Say, hey, I got you on my list. You're going in for surgery tomorrow. Do you have time? I just want to pray if you'd only take 2 minutes. If that was you, how would you feel getting that phone call? Wow, they really care about me at my local church. The elders have me on their radar. How about this? Remembering special events in the saints' lives, anniversaries, birthdays. When somebody walks in your local church on a Sunday morning for worship and you say, hey, Fred, happy birthday, brother. What do you think Fred is thinking? Wow, how did he know it was my birthday? Have people's birthdays, their anniversaries. And here's a big one. For the widows and widowers in your church, call them on the anniversary of the death of their loved one. Tell them, hey, I know this is a tough day. I'm praying for you. Breathe life. Breathe encouragement. Everybody can be involved in a ministry like that. It's positive, encouraging ministry. People often ask at our church, what can I do? This is something you can start. You don't need an education. You just pick up the phone, start calling, a card ministry. One of the reasons I emphasize this point is that at heart, brothers and sisters, we're critical of others, and it's not normal for us to be encouragers. Listen, a critical spirit is dangerous to the church and to relationships and the folks. As leaders, we don't want to manifest a critical mind. For example, as an elder, I don't want to be known to have a critical, I want to be known to have a critical mind, not a critical spirit. So train yourself to lift others up, be positive, be encouraging to everyone you come into contact with. And point number four in your outline. I can't emphasize how important this is in dealing with people, especially difficult situations. Be tactful. The most tactful person we see in the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Apostle Paul. William Hendrickson said this, Paul was probably the most tactful missionary who ever walked the earth. And I agree. Paul tells the Thessalonians that he treated them like a mother treats her baby. Paul's letters are the perfect example of diplomacy and tact. And these are two key words for an elder. As you minister to people, diplomacy and tact. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor one against another. He avoids strife. He's an encourager. Let me just talk to you about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a great manager of people. He had great skill. He was extremely tactful with the Chinese. Taylor, in a letter home, wrote these words. Some persons seem really clever in doing the right thing in the most worst possible way, or at the most unfortunate time. Really dull or rude persons will seldom be out of hot water in China. And though earnest and clever and pious will not affect much, in nothing do we fail more as a mission than in lack of tact and politeness. In other words, in the culture he lived in, it was impolite not to have the water, hot water going for somebody coming over for tea. So, do you remember the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I don't believe that. Words hurt, but words have the power also to encourage. There's great power in gracious words and traumatizing power in harsh words. There's much in the Proverbs about using our tongue. Proverbs 12:18. There's one whose rash words are like a sword thrusting, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then, of course, the exhortation that we're familiar with in the New Testament, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech, listen, always be gracious, seasoned with salt. So, what have we learned in this session? Two very important things. Number one, be an encourager. And number two, be tactful, be diplomatic in our dealings with others.